Let's pray before we jump into the Word today. Lord, I'm so grateful that you allow us to be in your house. Lord, you're still knocking on the door of people's hearts today. You're still inviting people to become part of your family today. And so right now, in this moment right now, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to speak to us, that you would begin to tell us what you want us to know, that our ears would be tuned to hear what you're saying to us. We bless you. We thank you for what you're getting ready to impart within each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, I wrapped up a sermon series called Complete, and it was all about serving. And I have to admit that as I was preparing for this week's sermon, I began to think through some of the things I had studied for this last series, and I thought, man, I just got a little bit more to say about the subject. So this is not that series, but it's a continuation. So the title of this sermon today is Jesus Needs Your Boat. Jesus Needs Your Boat. When Jesus started out his public ministry, he began to travel around and he began to speak in different places. He would go to the synagogue and speak, and he would speak to people in homes, and he would speak to people this place and that place and the other place. And wherever he went, he began to have crowds that followed him, and his ministry took off. And the business of Jesus Incorporated actually started growing. And Jesus himself wound the Jesus the Carpenter from Galilee Evangelistic Association began to grow. And next thing you know, he had large crowds that were coming out to see him. And we find this story in Luke, the fifth chapter. And if you want to turn there, we're going to look at that a little bit today. And this is one of those moments when Jesus was busy teaching people, and he had to get some more folks involved. Now, up till then, he'd been doing it pretty much by himself, but today we're going to learn a little bit more about his way of involving people. So here we are, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Stop right there for just a moment. Here's an observation about that. You see, Jesus he didn't need the boat necessarily. Later on, we find out that Jesus could walk on water. I think it would have been a great way to start his earthly ministry just to walk out in the middle of the sea, turn around and say, I'm the Son of God. I've come to save y'all. Anybody that wants to be baptized, come and take my hand. But he didn't do it that way, did he? He said, Peter, I need your boat. Now, he's not called Peter at that moment. He's called Simon, but his name was Simon Peter. He chose to use Peter's boat. Now, why did he use a boat that day instead of just doing it all by himself? Well, I'll tell you, because Jesus knew one day he was going to complete the ministry that God had sent him to do on earth, and he was going to need people to keep the message alive, and he also knew that the man with the boat was going to play a central role in this whole ministry. You see, Peter didn't realize that he was going to be with Jesus when Jesus fed the 5,000. He didn't know that he himself would one day walk on water. He didn't imagine that Jesus would die and come out of a tomb and tell Mary to go tell the disciples and Peter that he was alive. You see, he couldn't comprehend at that moment that on the day of Pentecost, he would stand and deliver the message, and he would have never guessed that over 3,000 people would come to know the Lord. He couldn't have imagined that he would sit in judgment of a young man recently converted by the name of Saul, welcoming him to the church, and then God changed his name from Saul to Paul, and Paul would be the one who wrote most of the New Testament. No, at this time, all he knew was that Jesus needed his boat. It all started with a request. Jesus said, I need your boat. Now, Peter's known as the disciple who denied the Lord. We know about it. Jesus said, before the cock crows, three times you will have denied me. Or before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And that's what happened. But what would have happened if on this particular day, the very first time he meets Peter, Peter had denied him the request? Jesus says, I need your boat. And Peter says, I don't think so. I just got through. I just got it cleaned. I'm over here working on my nets. I'm kind of in a bad mood. We didn't catch anything. It was a bust. I'm sleep deprived. I've got holes in my nets. I got a boat that's not paying for itself, and I've got things. That would have been an issue. Can you imagine how the Bible would have changed? We wouldn't have the largest cathedral in the world called St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. It would be called St. Jeffrey's Cathedral in Rome or something. I don't know what it would be called. It would be something else. It wouldn't be the same thing. St. John, St. Mary, St. Joy's. I don't know what it would be. It would be different. But at that moment, it was different. Now, could God have used somebody other than Peter? He could have, but God's original intention, Jesus' original intention, was to use Peter. And so here Peter answers the call, and Jesus says, I need your boat. How do I know that? Because God is always able to accomplish he wants to with other means, but he'll even do it with or without you. But his first choice is to use you. He has a plan for you. Peter didn't deny Jesus the boat ride. Peter answered the call. Peter said, I don't have the best equipment. I'm not the smartest guy. I'm not even a great fisherman. But if you can use anything, you can use me. Shortly after Joy and I were married, we became youth pastors in Denison, Texas. And it was a small church. It was larger than this, but it was not that big of a church. And we were youth pastors. We did music and a few other things. And one of our youth that started attending was a young man by the name of Mark. And Mark played bass guitar. And so he started playing the bass guitar in our church. And a couple of years later, and when Joy and I moved to Fort Worth, Mark was invited to become the youth pastor at the church. And so he was there at the church for a while, and then he got asked to go to another church, and he traveled there. And all the time he was picking up new skills and abilities, and he was getting trained more and more. And a few years later, about 20 years later, he mothered a church and started a church over in North Richland Hills. And he was there for a few years when one day he gets a call from Killeen, Texas, and a church that he had been on staff with had lost their pastor recently. He had been killed in a car wreck, and they called Mark and said, would you be our pastor? And so Mark, who 20 years ago, or was 30 something years ago, was just a kid in our youth group, and he just happened to be a bass player. What started out with him just playing bass, now he pastors a church of a couple of thousand people down in Killeen. And the Lord took him from just a young boy in a youth group to a pastor of a very large church in an Air Force town or an Army town down in Killeen. You see, at the time, he didn't know what God was going to do for him. All that he knew was that God, if you can use anything, you can use me. You can use my bass. He just started out with what he had. My roommate in college was a young man by the name of Sam. We traveled together in a band, and Sam could always preach. He just had a gift. He had an anointing. When we traveled in college, we traveled and sang, and Sam played bass guitar, and I played piano. We had a drummer and a bass player, and we traveled. Joy traveled some with us. Over the years, Sam began to become an evangelist, and he traveled all over the United States. And some years later, he held an extended revival up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, of a large church. And shortly after that revival, they asked him to be the pastor. Today, he pastors a congregation of several thousand in Grand Rapids. Why? Because 30-something years ago, he said, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. If it's just my bass guitar, if it's just whatever, it's just what I have to give you at the moment, not knowing where God would take him. God can take the start, can start with the little things and turn them into big things. Even in your life, you have probably seen God do some big things with some little gifts. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. What do you have? Here's the question. What do you have today that the Lord is asking you to use? What's that skill, that equipment, that ability, that talent that you have that you think is not that good? You see, the widow with a little oil didn't have much, but God used it. The innkeeper didn't have room, but he had a stable, and God used it. The man with a donkey didn't have much, but Jesus needed it, and God used it to fulfill the prophecy. The boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish didn't have much, but Jesus used it. God will take your little, and he will make much out of it. You see, God needs your ideas. He needs your skills. He needs your talents. He needs your abilities. And he needs your willingness to accomplish what he wants to. Now, he's always used imperfect people and their imperfect skills and their imperfect talents to accomplish great things. And he will continue to do that through you. All 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, share the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We're not going to turn to anyone specifically, but if you want to know where they are, it's in the 14th chapter of Matthew, it's in the 6th chapter of Mark, the 9th chapter of Luke, and the 6th chapter of John. You can look at any of those. But I'm going to share a few things about that, because God took something so small and did something so great with it that it showed up in all of the Gospels. All 4 of the men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were there, and they all witnessed it, and they all said, oh, we got to tell people about this. And so they all wrote their account of that particular day. Here's a little bit about what we know. It was a big crowd of people. Scripture tells us there was over 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children that were there that day. They had followed Jesus out to a remote place, and it was so remote, in fact, that when evening came, Jesus realized that these people had been out there a long time and they didn't have any food. They were all getting hungry, and Jesus had compassion on them. Scripture tells us that he was compassionate toward them and began to heal their sick. And so he tells the disciples, these people are hungry. You need to feed them. And they said, Lord, even with a lot of money, we couldn't buy food for these people. And Jesus said, it's all right. Tell me what you got. And so here's, and the rest of the story will unfold in a moment, but here's what I learned about this story. First thing I learned is that age doesn't matter. When God gets ready to use you, he will use you no matter how old you are. In this particular story, he used a little boy, a young boy, because the young boy was the only one smart enough to have brought the 2-piece fish dinner. It was his mother made him something. Now, it might have been a 3-piece fish dinner for all we know, and he might have only had 2 left. I don't know. By the time he got, he might have already been snacking. Or mama may have made a big lunch. But for some reason, this child had 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what he showed up with. And he brought them and he gave them to Jesus. Now, this is a miracle in its own. We know he wasn't too young, because if he was too young, he'd have said, no, you're not getting my fish. So we don't know how old he was, but he was old enough to be a sharing, caring little boy, and that's good. Now, let me tell you something. Age doesn't matter. You may be 5, you may be 55, you may be 95, and God can still use what you have. Here's what I know about that story is I have seen people of all ages that have just been so caring. They have been so giving. It didn't matter what God asked of them. They were just willing. Lord, whatever you need, I'm here. I'm your servant. I will do whatever you ask of me. And God will do great things among you no matter how old you are and no matter how young you are. The second thing I learned is that money doesn't matter. The little boy didn't have a lot of money. And even if he did, it wouldn't have been enough to feed. See, sometimes we think that if we just had more money, it would fix stuff. But in this situation, money wasn't the answer. Hunger was the problem. Money didn't fix the hunger problem. They needed food. They didn't need coins. They didn't need dollars. There wasn't a McDonald's on the corner. They didn't have Chick-fil-A. It was Sunday. And so it was a whole kinds of problems. You know what I'm saying? It was just a different issue that day. So they didn't need money. They needed food. So money's not the answer to all of the world's problems. People have been fighting over it. Third thing I know about this is how much you have doesn't matter. Jesus didn't need all 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He could have gotten by with 1 fish and 1 loaf, but he took all of it. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He could have used less. He could have used more, but he used exactly what the child had, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So let me ask you a question. What do you have? How much do you have? Do you think it's enough? Could God do something with whatever it is that you have? Today, as I'm speaking on this, I'm praying that God will remind you, that the Holy Spirit will speak through me, and you're going to begin to think about something that you have. Or it might be a queen-size mattress in your king-size garage. But it might be something else. You just don't know what God's going to use your gifts, your talents, your equipment, your ideas, your stuff with. The fourth thing I find is that God uses strategy in our lives. God is organized. You see, when Jesus found out that he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes to work with, he told the disciples, tell the people to be seated in groups of 50 and 100. 50 and 100. Jesus was organized. He didn't say, everybody line up. One long line, or come and get it. He didn't holler, just it wasn't pandemonium. He was organized. Jesus is very organized. He still uses strategy. Doesn't have to be complicated, but Jesus is still using strategy. So have you ever sat down and just strategized about what your gifts are? Where can I use this gift? What can I do this for? Why did God give me this particular ability? Where could God use that? I mean, I don't fit the mold. I'm outside the norms. What would God be able to do with this? Because it doesn't look like I'm a preacher. It doesn't look like I'm a teacher. It doesn't look like I'm a worship leader. I can't use it for anything in church. Well, you know, church is much more than what you see on this stage on a Sunday morning. There's so much more going on in the kingdom of God than what you see right here at this moment. There's people all over the world. I've met missionaries that go all over the world and they travel and they dig wells and they put buildings up and they do all kinds of amazing things. Some of them are technologically completely incapacitated and have to have somebody else come along and show them how to use a cell phone, but they know how to get people organized and do stuff. You never know what your skills will do for you. So what do you need? What does God need that your abilities can use? God still uses strategy. Another thing I find about this story is that we can thank God for what we have right now. You see, when Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it says that he took them and he lifted them up to heaven and he blessed them and he thanked God for them. I can just hear Jesus saying, Lord, it's not much. It's just 5 loaves and 2 fish, but we want to thank you for it. Because of this 5 loaves and 2 fishes, everybody's fixing to be filled. Everybody's going to be full when this is over. So I bless you for the little, because now it's going to become much. And he broke it and he fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Some people believe it could have been 15,000 people or so. Can you imagine? This little boy brings a sack lunch and a coliseum filled with people gets fed. This is an amazing story. This is not the stuff of myths. This is true. It showed up from 4 places in the Bible. You need to thank God for whatever you have. Have you ever thanked God about what you currently have right now? Our natural inclination is often to grumble about what we don't have because of the whole comparison game. We'll compare ourselves with what other people have. We'll compare ourselves with what they have and we don't have, or what we wish we had. And yet at the same time, God is saying, I have given you so much. So we need to thank God for what we have. Here's also what I found out about this story. Jesus wants to use your hands and your feet. Now, since Jesus broke the bread, broke the fish, he could have easily just said, here's 5 loaves and 2 fish. If Jesus can turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough food to feed 5,000 men, 15,000 people, couldn't he just as instantly fill their bellies? And just said, okay, I'm going to pray, and you're all going to be full. Boom. And there they were. Just like, you know, you kind of think of that or this or any of this witchcraft type stuff. But Jesus didn't do it that way. Jesus got involved with the men. He worked through the disciples. And he says he gave them the bread. He gave them the fish. And he said, go and feed the people. God's still using people. He wants to use you because God does something known as process. He works through process. He doesn't just instantly fix your problems. He doesn't just instantly do some of the things that we wish he would instantly do. He still uses process. Jesus could have skipped the middleman and filled everybody's stomachs, but guess what? You and I are the middleman. We are the people that God uses. We are the people that he sends forth to do great things. We are the people that other people see when they think of Jesus. When they think of Jesus today and you're representing Jesus wherever you go, what are they thinking of? Are you giving them a good view of Jesus? When they think of you and they know that you're a Christ follower, they know you're somebody who loves God, somebody who professes the Lordship of Jesus. Do you think that they look at you and they think, well, if they think so much of Jesus, I'd like to meet him? Or do they think, Jesus must be crazy because he's got some crazy friends? What are you setting forth? You're the hands and feet of Jesus. We are going forth to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus wants to be your hands and your feet. He told the disciples in Matthew 14, bring them here. See, once again, he used their hands and their feet. The first thing you have to do before God's going to do anything great in your life with what you have is you have to bring it to Jesus. You have to say, Lord, I know it's not much. I'm almost embarrassed to bring you, Lord, what I have, but here it is. And then you can see what God can do with that little. The next thing I learned about this story is that God will bless you over and above when you give your little to him. We don't know what happened to the leftovers, but Scripture tells us that after everybody was full, the disciples somehow managed to get 12 baskets, and they went around and picked up all the scraps. And what started out as 5 loaves and 2 fish ended up with 12 baskets of broken pieces. 12 baskets of broken. That's a lot of baskets. We don't know where it went. We don't know what became of it. We don't know if Jesus sent it all home with a little boy. Can you just see the little boy? I just don't know. I can't imagine. Or put it in a wagon and taking it home. Mama, I got some leftovers. Just put it in the fridge. I mean, can you just... It's not exactly what you think, Mama. I mean, I don't know exactly how this all worked. The Scripture doesn't tell us. But we know that there was plenty of food left over after everybody was full. God will bless you over and above when you give your little to him. Can you imagine that he traded his sack lunch for a buffet full of food? Ephesians 3 and 20 says it like this. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Would you call that story infinitely more? I would. Infinitely more than you could ask or think. Now, as great as this story is of Jesus getting in Peter's boat, I'm going to go back to it and finish the story. I didn't tell you everything about it. It didn't end with just Jesus borrowing the boat from Peter that day. He didn't just get in the boat and teach, and after it was all said and done, he said, "Pull me back to shore, Peter, and I'll get out now that everybody's gone." Because, see, Jesus knew something about acoustics. He knew that on that particular day, with all the disciples, with all the people there listening to him, he couldn't speak to them. They couldn't all hear him well enough. So he said, Peter, if you'll let me get in your boat and just push out just from the shore enough. It was kind of built on an amphitheater. The people were on the hillside, and his voice reflected off the water and went up there, and Jesus spoke, sitting in the boat, and everybody could hear him. It was a very natural amphitheater. It didn't end with Jesus just having a good sense of acoustics. No, he took himself back to the shore, and he said, now, cast on out to the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And this is what we read now. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. Pause right there. Peter was a professional fisherman. Jesus was a teacher and a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? This is probably all stuff that's going through Peter's mind. But Peter had respect for him as we continue. He said, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish that had caught. They had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. You see, when I read the rest of that story, I realize that when you give God your little, he'll bless it, and he'll not just bless it, he'll bless it and those around you. The people around Peter also blessed. His fishing companions, his partners in the fishing industry, they all got to see the magnificent supernatural catch of fish that day. God will bless you, and there will always be an abundance as it pours over around you with other people. Isn't it good to know that God will do something in your life and it will affect others around you? Have you ever had one of those moments in your life when God did something magnificent for you, did something wonderful in your life, and you could tell that people that knew you and found out about it were just kind of amazed? They just begin to kind of watch. They don't always say something, but they watch you. I believe people watch Alice. Alice has got about 1 week's worth of radiation left to go through. She's been through a long battle, but God has blessed her, and the people that know her are watching her, and they're seeing her, and they're seeing how God has blessed her. And I believe there's an overflow. There's an abundance. There's something so wonderful about God blessing you and watching the overflow around you. That's what happens when you give God your little. You see, God can use you, but he never just wants to use you. He has bigger plans. He has a strategy, and he has a purpose. You say, "Well, what if I'm afraid? What if I don't think I've got what it takes? What if I make a mistake and try to let God use me and I fail?" Sometimes people get there. When I was younger, I was concerned about what God would do with my life. I didn't know what God would accomplished through me. I didn't know what God's plan was. I just sensed that God wanted to use me in the ministry somehow. And the model that I had of the ministry didn't look like it does now. It didn't look like it was. My life was. I went through years doing different type of ministry than what the model I had seen as a child. But that's the way it is. God will take you and your little mind, and he will take you as much information as you have right now, and he will blow your mind with things that you can't imagine right now. He will do infinitely more than you can ask and you can think. But you still say, "Well, that sounds good. I'd like to do something for God, but I'm just afraid. I've got some anxiety." Well, I've got a verse for you. Psalm 55 and 22 says it like this: "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall." And then here's the great verse. I close with this. Here's one of the greatest verses in your Bible. And guess who wrote it? Peter the fisherman. The one who cast his net out that day and brought back a great load of fish. Peter wrote this wonderful verse. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." You don't think Peter knew something about casting a net? He also knew something about casting your cares away. And he did that. He cast the nets out there that day and saw an incredible catch of fish. He can do the same thing with all your worries. You can cast your care on him, and you don't have to pull them back in. I'm grateful for that. Just because you jump into the deep end of the pool and plan to volunteer or do something. See, I've been in church long enough to see people want to do something for God, and they say, "Well, this must be where I'm supposed to do it." And they jump into the deep end, and they swim around for a while in there, and they realize this is not a good fit for me. And guess what they do? They get out of the pool, and they never jump in again. They think, "Well, I tried something. It didn't work. God can't use me." No, if you jump into one end of the pool and you find yourself swimming around trying to do something over there and it's not the right fit, swim over to the other side. Try something else. I guarantee you that God has a place for you. And let's just go outside of church. Not every ministry that you have has to be in the church. I'm not here to tell you the only place you can serve is inside the church. You can serve in so many capacities right where you are at home, on your job. Maybe God has called you to do something that nobody else is doing. Maybe your gifts are just to minister to people all over that you will find throughout your life. We run into them every day, and people are just waiting to have somebody share the love of God with them. What is that in your life today? What can you serve God with? I want you to know God wants to use your boat. Would you bow your heads? Today, as I've spoken, my prayer today is simply, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, show us what you have for us to do. Lord, we've all got boats. We've all got gifts. We've all got talents. We've all got equipment. We've all got stuff. We've all got possessions. Lord, you want to use some of what we have. You gave it to us, not just so we could hoard it to ourselves, Father, but you have a plan for it. You have a purpose for it. You gave it to us for a purpose. Now, Lord, I pray that we would have our ears tuned to hear you speak to each one of us as to what we need to do with what you have given us. The talents, the gifts, the abilities, the training, the equipment, the stuff that we have in our lives. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to come to you today and ask you another question. Some of you may be here and you've never, ever cast your cares on the Lord. You've never given God the opportunity just to work in your life. You've never opened up your heart to Him. Today I want to give you the opportunity to say, Lord, if you can use anybody, you can use me. Would you take my life? Would you take my brokenness? Would you take the part of me that I am ashamed of? Would you take the part of me that has failed? Would you take the disappointments of my life? Would you take all of me and use it for whatever you want to use it for? If you're here today and you would just say that I'd like to accept the Lord today into my life, I'd like you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Go ahead. If that's you today, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, today I lift up these men and women. I'm grateful that you have brought us into this room today to hear what you would say to us. Lord, you're still knocking on the hearts of men and women. You are still calling little boys and little girls into the ministry. You're still calling teenagers into the work of the kingdom. You're still saying, come and follow me, to businessmen. And you're still saying, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men, to people who are doing something else. You're still using men and women in all of their abilities that they have. I thank you, Lord, that you're still using us. So today, would you use us? Would you call us? Would you confirm within us, each one of us, what you have called us to do? Let our hearts not be turned against you, Father, but let our eyes be open to hear, to see what you want us to do and hear what you have called us to do. Thank you for it, Lord. I bless you today. I speak a blessing over these men and women today. I thank you, Father, for your hand of provision. I thank you that you are going before us and you are making a way. And Lord, I bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Why don't you stand this morning?